Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction? I'm not going to do a lot of talking today because the artificial intelligence is going to do it all for me. Just kidding. But we're going to go in and we're going to learn about AI through the guru of AI in a company called Alice. And so Art of Construction, I'm so excited for this, is that the main message that we want to convey to you today is that Alice is an AI-powered construction simulation platform. They work with some of the world's biggest construction companies to help them rethink the way they schedule and manage their projects using artificial intelligence. As you know, the construction segment can be slow to adapt new technology. The tools that may use for project scheduling and management, so the old Excel, PowerPoint, and P6, they're decades old, right? So Alice is a breath of fresh air, and I'm so stoked to come in and learn about that. Through AI, Alice enables their customers to create millions of potential schedules at once, and they analyze those options to find the path that best suits their business goals. So how is this going to benefit us, Tribe? Companies can save weeks of production time and millions of dollars in cost. We're going to talk about how we manage those two things we don't have enough of, time and money, with AI. And we get to have Renee Marcos, who is the founder of Alice and also an adjunct professor at Stanford. So we have a lot of information coming into Studio AOC. So let's go talk about how we can stop scheduling and start optimizing with Alice Technologies. Lock and load, Tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
Mezcal Negroni.
There we go. My sales manager, I didn't know what that was until he came on board, and he loves those things. So I know what that is now. So awesome. What is your favorite place you've traveled?
Probably Afghanistan.
Well, tell us one story from that.
The bars are crazy, really crazy. Yeah, but you're like hanging out, having a drink at the bar, and some guy walks in with a machine gun, rocks up, takes a few shots, and then sort of, you know, walks out again. Lots of crazy stories. Maybe not for public consumption just yet.
All right. Well, we'll leave it at that. What's your favorite hobby or interest that? We're going to talk about breaking down these construction silos, and I'm so stoked to have a master of AI because I really don't know if I know enough about it, and I think it's really good to talk about that and tools around artificial intelligence that we're going to talk about really moving forward that we passionately call the art of construction. But what do you do outside of that, Renee?
You mean there is an arena outside of construction? I'm kidding. I got into mountaineering like 3 or 4 years ago. So yeah, I'll do like one expedition a year. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I got to hear a story from mountaineering. Give us one experience story from that.
I was supposed to climb this mountain called Aconcagua, which is a 7,000 meter mountain in Argentina this December. But due to COVID, I got canceled. So my last one was the third highest in North America, which is a mountain called Orizaba. So yeah, about, I think 18,500 feet, if I remember correctly.
Wow.
Yeah, sunrise, you know, you're kind of on the mountain, sun's rising behind you, volcanoes kind of erupting in the background. Yeah, spewing smoke, super surreal. Super surreal, one of the best experiences of my life. Just wow, gorgeous view up there. Yeah. And just completely exhausted. I think it must have been like 10 Fahrenheit, just freezing, you know, and then got up there, took a few photos. Yeah. Life changing. Yeah. So, yeah, highly recommend it.
Wow. Well, way to set the stage. And from research, it sounds like we could probably spend a whole podcast talking about your life story. But what's the short version?
Short version. Dad was in construction. Gave me a good piece of advice when I graduated high school. He's like, son, do anything you want, just don't do construction. I was like, great, got it. Know exactly what I need to do now. First job, I didn't like class. I would cut class. I would literally like not go to school and go to construction sites. And I'd offer, you know, to work for free. I mean, I didn't care. I liked building stuff. I really, really liked it. There is something about like changing reality that way. You know, you go home and you're like, it wasn't there before I was here. Now it's there. It's going to be there for a very long time. You know, there was just something about that got me out of bed. First job out of school, went to Afghanistan, worked for a contractor. True story, the slogan of the company was Hara Construction Afghanistan, take it easy, we'll build it again. Yeah, great business model, lots of repeat customers. Yeah, I'm not kidding. So did that for a while. Truthfully, got tired of getting bombed. Applied to a bunch of places, did my master's at USC, then got into Stanford. Kept looking for this tool, really. Didn't find it, went to Stanford, started doing my PhD. Yeah, did what they call in colloquially industrial PhD, 6 months on, 6 months off. And, you know, 6 months of work, 6 months of research. And then, you know, graduated and founded Alice. We won this competition on campus, this entrepreneurship competition, and that kind of kickstarted things. And, you know, that's what, six years and some change ago. So, yeah, and I've been building this, the world's first generative construction simulator ever since.
Outstanding. So now tell us, when and where was it that you first saw the potential for AI to help improve scheduling?
Ah, that's really easy. There's two specific moments. The first was I was building these landing strips for F-16s, you know, in Kabul on the airport. Really exotic destination, you know, kind of an exotic project, but you know, ultimately it was just a slab, you know. And now I remember sitting there, you know, sun's rising, really, really cold. You know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, Afghanistan's in the Himalayas, right? Freezing cold, you know, you could see a breath. And I'm looking at, you know, this very large slab, and I'm trying to figure out, I had 30 guys. I was like, okay, do I put five of them here and then we'll have them do like steel and then move them over there and then they'll do like formwork, or do I move the formwork guys over, you know, like, how do I sequence this darn thing? And I remember thinking like, man, I gotta be stupid. Like, I can't figure this out, you know? And so I was like, okay. And then when I left, I was like, I want to go learn how the pros do this. You know, that's why I went to study, right? Cause I got all this responsibility so early. I was managing, you know, five projects, 114 people. And so, you know, I kept looking for that tool. Right. And that was kind of the first moment, right? Like really sort of trying to figure out like how to sequence this work. Like, what do I do with these 30 people? It's the fastest way to build it. And like I said, I clearly remember like, this thing is hard. Like I can't figure it out. And years later, by the way, and then once I started studying AI and started doing the research, I realized like, yeah, these solutions tend to have like, you know, 3, 4, 30, 40 million, you know, solutions. Right. There's no wonder that you can't kind of figure it out. What you can figure out is you always figure out a solution. It's about finding the optimal solution. That's the tricky part. A human will find a solution, right? And then did my PhD. I was, you know, the 6 month year I was working for this company in the Netherlands, of all places. And we were building, again, kind of a cool project, which was the cruise ship terminal for the city of Amsterdam, right? And they were late. They were 6 weeks late on this darn thing. And it's 50,000 euros a day. So you can kind of imagine the mood in the room. And these folks are yelling at each other. And as they're yelling at each other, the subcontractor is like, I can't work any faster. And I get up, look out of the window, and there's 100,000 square foot of empty space and six people standing. And that's when the second thing hit me, which was like, oh my God, construction sites are empty. And really, I mean, you know, just drive down any construction site anywhere in the world, or think of any construction site you've been on. There are pockets of very intense work, but if you walk through the site, most of the area is empty. And those two observations were basically what led to Alice. So I went back and started optimizing how to increase space usage. I measured how much space is used in construction sites for construction in general, which is 3%, by the way. It's kind of crazy. Right? The space asset utilization in construction sites is 3%. I did that experiment in Netherlands, and I did it twice in the US. And so as I was looking at that, the answer was, you know, I started to develop algorithms that could increase space usage. And from there, I ended up, you know, unraveling the Alice story.
Wow. Fascinating. So how was Alice founded then? So that you gave those great examples of those key kind of moments in time. And I really appreciate you mm-hmm. sharing that with us, because that's, you know, we learn by doing, but then when did it officially start? And then let's get into the Alice story.
Well, the cool thing about it, you know, was that I there was never any concept that this thing was ever actually going to be worth anything. You know, I had this incredibly golden opportunity, right, to sit in a great institution and just go to the library and read stuff. You know, it was just a fascinating thing for me. I really, really enjoyed it. So I was tinkering around with these prototypes, you know, and I mean, Alice in 2011 was like really squares dancing on the screen, you know. We entered this this competition called BASES. It's a big deal on campus. It's like the big entrepreneurship competition. And, you know, we ended up beating 103 other teams, some of them, you know, from Harvard, some from Berkeley. And we won first place. We were voted the best product coming out of Stanford University that year. And that gave us $20,000 in prize money, you know, which was for a PhD student a hell of a lot of money, right? And yeah, I mean, that was basically my annual income, you know. And then, you know, the lawyers called me up and they said, hey, we'll give you this thing called deferred payment. So I said, what the hell is deferred payment? And they said, oh, you can pay us later, you know, after you raise all the money. So I was like, that sounds like a scam. So yeah. So I woke up in a dorm room on campus and I was like, heck, I think I just founded a company. And, you know, then it's like, I mean, one thing led to another, you know, Silicon Valley, I guess, did its thing. I mean, a classic story, right? Four guys in a basement, you know, first on campus and then elsewhere. I mean, super, super scrappy, right? I was the lowest paid person at Alice until we made any money, and that took a while. Yeah, we were working, I don't know, 16. I mean, I remember regularly phone calls at like 2 a.m., 3 a.m., you know, going through stuff, like trying to figure out how to get it to work. You know, it was just a big sort of technical problem. Like, how the heck do you, you know, encode all this complexity we call construction and, you know, field that I love and I'm highly aware of the complexity of it into something a computer can understand, right? Most people thought that was, it's impossible. And I still hear that, like, oh, it can't be done. And we did it. We cracked it. It took us 3.5 years. It took me 6 years in the PhD, 3.5 years in the company for us to really say, okay, we've cracked it. We've cracked the problem. You know, we've got a prototype that ticks all the boxes. So that was kind of it.
I really appreciate you opening up, Renee, talking about how you were skipping class to be out on a construction site to there. I couldn't stop learning when you found your passion, right? And that's what we love when we get to have lifelong learners come to the Art of Construction, and good things happen when you say, you know, we just kept scrapping and kept working until we figured it out. So I want to kind of get into the weeds and talk through us. How does the tool work now that you said we've cracked the code? And how do you upload projects, details, and, you know, what are the different products of Alice?
Oh, yeah. So it's really cool. So here's basically the question that you're trying to answer, right? It's how the heck do you encode all this complexity that you call construction into something a computer can understand, right? And the solution actually is I'd say almost counterintuitive. And here's why. What you have to do is you have to split planning from scheduling, right? You've got to split the rules that govern your construction project away from the solution of how it's going to get built. And that's the thing that like has never been done before, right? And so in the planning stage, you set up a rule set. You state basically things like, and it sounds very abstract, but it's actually very straightforward. What tasks do you need? What resources do you need for those tasks? What objects are you building? What are your production rates, your calendars, right? What resources are available, right? Really, really common construction language, right? You set that up in the plan and you send it to what we used to call a scheduler, but we now started calling the simulator. That's the big deal. Because Alice doesn't schedule, she simulates. Alice is actually moving those crews and cranes and all of that stuff around to build your project within, you know, the computer. And so that's basically, you know, how we did it, right? There's three phases of the software. You set up the plan, you set up the rule set. You send that rule set to the simulator that crunches all those rules for you. That's the really boring part. Why anybody would want to spend their life crunching constraints is beyond me. And then, you know, Alice generates millions of solutions, picks the best ones for you to analyze. And you can click on those, expand it, and each simulation has a schedule estimate 4D and advanced analytics with it. That's how it works. Three phases, right? The product currently has two, the platform, I should say, has two products, which is the pre-construction product and the managed construction product. So in the pre-construction product, you set up the rule set, run lots of simulations, explore, as we call it. For the first time ever, you can explore options in great detail, generate them, and then select them and you know, put them for, you know, pick them for construction, right? The other product that we have is managed, which is once you've selected an option, now you update progress on the fly. And the tool is incredibly powerful. It can, you can update, you know, progress and then say, you know, what's the impact on my schedule? What's the impact of this delay on my schedule if I do nothing? And that's relatively easy. Lots of things can do that today. But the really cool thing that nothing else can do is you can say, well, okay, resequence around that delay. Try, you know, adding cranes, try adding crews, try changing the whatever, crane radii, try, you know, adding overtime, try fast drying concrete, try resequencing, and the tool will do all that for you, right? Crunching millions and millions of simulations and then give you the optimal solution to mitigate whatever delay you're on.
Gold. So I'm going to try to recap what I heard from you there, Renee, and you challenge me if I'm missing something, because I'm just blown away right now with what you're saying. I want to make sure the Art of Construction tribe is getting all this. So the what we went out to solve is, how do you encode construction complexity that we can understand? Is that, did I hear that kind of the overarching? Is that accurate?
How do you encode all the complexity that we can call construction into something a computer can understand? Yeah.
Awesome. So, and then you planning broke away from scheduling as two kind of key things of aha moments. And then you turned scheduler into a simulator. And I think that's really an important thing where you said, because I've been learned the words matter, right? Scheduling is different than simulation, but you're mm-hmm. taking a tool that's managing those things. Yep. And then you break it down into plan with rules, setting the rules to output solutions. And that's where I'm hearing the art is where the artists are doing this planning and design. The of is the gooey middle that nobody wants to deal with, the rules and the complex and all the stuff that we get stuck spending a lot of time of. And the solutions is the construction. And construction is messy, right? And you talked about how can we reschedule around delays, because that never happens, right? And so you talk about how you can put in fast drying concrete versus applying overtime and solutions to actually be able to manage the of, so you can be better artists and better constructors. Is that what I'm hearing?
You hit the nail on the head. That's exactly it. Awesome. That's exactly it. Like a lot of people don't realize what, you know, Revit didn't eliminate the need for architects, right? The value of an architect is not creating copies of blueprints. The value of an architect is they understand space and light and time and all that jazz, right? The value of a structural engineer isn't sitting there with a calculator and, you know, crunching out, you know, discrete, you know, element calculations. They understand how structures work. They set up SAP, right? SAP 2000, and that's the art, right? Same thing with Alice. It's exactly what you said. That plan, that rule set, that's what the construction experience gives you. Alice does not do that by itself. It's the art of setting it up. You set it up and then you interpret the results. So that's exactly how it works.
And
you
let the computer do the crunching. Yeah, I'm so passionate about the data, the building information modeling. People forget about the information and then they get confused by the information, right? And so that GUI center is something that we're trying to fast track. When you talk about back at the beginning, when you said 100,000 square foot of space and there's only six people there. Well, maybe these people, instead of doing the GUI middle, could get back out on the job site or using other tools to build better buildings, which is the passion or our underlying tone of the Art of Construction and why we're honored to have affiliates like Alice to help share our stories of all the time you put into it, right?
We say we're a construction company that happens to make software, right? I really love this field. Like, this software is really designed. you know who we designed it, who I designed it for? It's designed for that person, that project engineer. When she's on site and she's thinking, drat, it's 7 p.m. and I know I've got another 2 hours to basically, you know, work through this, right? And you're stressed, there's liquidated damages, you're trying to figure out, like, you know, what do I do, right? And you now have this incredibly powerful tool that can crunch a heck of a lot of computing. I mean, the thing that's incredible, right, is that you can buy an hour of Amazon EC2 crunch time for 1.3 cents. That is, like, trust me, that's mind-blowing. Like, you can buy that much computing firepower for 1 cent, right? And when we figured it out, we were like, wait, you guys are going to sell us, like, what? Like, it's crazy. So why the heck not leverage it, right? And to me, like, the point is that folks in construction can go home earlier. There's less risk. I've been in those projects, right? That when there's liquidated damage, just kind of looking down the barrel at you, right? And it's not a good feeling. Your career's at stake. You know, heck, you know that somebody could get fired, somebody could lose their job over this. It's stressful. And this is what this tool is designed to do, right? It can't do everything in the world, but it can crunch a hell of a lot of complexity and give you some really, really key insights that you haven't been able to do before.
Awesome, gold. So let's get it. What kind of projects is Alice best suited for? Because I raise my hand and say, I'm blown away by what you just said, Amazon and 1.3 cents, but I don't quite get that. But I want to help the Art of Construction tribe when you talk about that person that wants to not have the stress of the work and wants to leave at a decent time to go home and be with their family at dinner versus out there saying, I got to just keep hustling through this to figure it out. And so what kind of project is Alice best suited for? And to what degree is the computing power of Alice's AI better at scheduling those projects than humans would be to manage the two things we don't have enough of, time and money?
Alice is best suited for projects where you actually care about how it's getting built. And what I mean by that is that projects that have resource allocation requirements, how many crews, how many cranes, what production rates, so on and so forth. The project that we've seen really big success on is our infrastructure, because they tend to self-perform their work. They use production rates. They have a clear idea of how to build it, right? Renewable energy, for example, solar, wind, we've seen a lot of success with, right? The tool itself can run any type of project, which is interesting. We've run it on anything you can think of, from parking lots to $3.7 billion airports, you know, oil and gas, pipelines, and so on and so forth, right? The sweet spot is like self-perform infrastructure, you know, renewable energy, tunnels, bridges, you know, anywhere where you have resource allocation requirements. Like, I care about how it's getting built, which crews are doing what at what time, what my production rates are, you know, production level schedules. So that's basically where we've seen a lot of success. And there was one more question, which was...
Great answer. So what kind of best suited for? And I'd love at the end of this next question to maybe say we're big on modular design. And I think that would be a key thing of blending offsite and onsite construction, if you guys have done anything with that. But the other question of this part of the series is, what degree is the computing power of Alice's AI better at scheduling those projects than humans would be?
I can give you a great answer to that question. We've noticed a pattern at Stanford over the last couple of decades. And that pattern is as follows. When you use algorithms, right, or AI to generate lots and lots of solutions versus compare it to a human solution, one solution that a human created, right, or two, you'll tend to see about a 20-25% improvement, right? And we've seen that sort of over and over again. Pretty neat piece of information. And unsurprisingly with Alice, you'll see those numbers, right? I think the average duration savings are about 17%, and average labor and equipment savings are about 13%.
That's just fascinating. Have you guys done anything with blending on-site and off-site construction and the shoeboxes, as they call them, but all the, you know, the future of taking the parts and components to for the industrialized construction in Dallas?
Oh, yeah, modular and prefab. It turns out, and this is a surprise to me, that modular construction companies or so I'd say today, vertically integrated modular and prefabrication companies have a higher need for something like this. And the reason is that because what people don't realize is the factories that produce the prefab have still limited capacity. So the question becomes, okay, well, if I've got 10 prefab panels, which construction site do I send them to, right? Or if those panels are delayed, what do I do on site while waiting for them, right? So there's lots of different kind of applications to it, right? I mean, Alice is effectively what we've done is digitize the single unit of demand, which is a construction site. You have a simulation that's alive and kind of breathing, I guess. But, you know, you can build this thing over and over again. So whatever it is, you can immediately see the impact of prefabbing, you know, this element versus that element. Should I focus on prefabbing this thing, or should I, you know, if the material didn't show up or the prefab elements didn't show up, what should I do? And so, yeah, we've done quite a bit of work in that regard.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And with all the different components, it sounds like you can better control things that it feels like you can't control or out of control, because you can't manage those algorithms yourself without a tool like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. There's too many variables. Like most people, I mean, this really just angers me, right? And people are like, oh, construction's not sophisticated, right? I mean, that's like BS, right? We build the biggest, most complex things in the world, period. The biggest operations problems, the biggest operations sort of management problems, operation research problems are in construction, right? And the reason, by the way, that we are behind other fields in digitization is precisely because it's more complicated than everything else. That's why we have to wait for design to get digitized, right?
Digitizing
something like banking. I mean, what a joke. Like, that's so simple. And these, you know, bankers think they're so sophisticated. It's like, yeah, obviously you guys think you're sophisticated because you've been, you know, you digitized your field, you know, 20 years ago. It was the easiest thing to digitize. For us, we've had to wait until now. The processing speeds weren't fast enough to crunch BIM. BIM is a technology that was invented in the 80s. But because buildings are bigger and more complex than machines, which is where parametric design was first used, we had to wait till the early 2000s for us to be able to do parametric design, which is BIM, right, for architecture.
Everybody in the art of construction has to hear what you just said, because you put it into context. Because we get confused, like, well, am I doing something wrong? Like, why are people telling us this? And one of my mentors, he's like, you know, I own a window and door company in Colorado, and there's a lot of complexities to windows and doors because they're the structural element that holds up a building, but they're also this beauty cap both inside and outside of every building, right? With the hood ornament walking through the front door, right? And so I've always been passionate about windows and doors. And one of my mentors was like, Devin, you know what? I've owned a window company for 30 years, and people used to always say, it's not rocket science, it's just windows and doors. And he's like, you know what? He actually just sold his window dealership last year. And he said, I spent the last 5 years saying, you know what? God dang it, it is rocket science what we do in this, right? Because there's so many moving parts and complexities. But the key thing that I heard from you was the computational power to actually make computational design be a key thing, and then getting the warriors and the true heroes out in the field with a smartphone that can have that computing power to connect the field to the office. That's what had to get done, right?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that had to get digitized is the input to construction and design. We wait for the engineers or the architects to finish their job so we can go build it. That's what we do, right? And so until we digitize that piece of the puzzle, we could not digitize construction, right? The other thing that I'd like to point out is, like, yeah, people in construction are a little bit skeptical. Most of the stuff that has been thrown at us has sucked.
Yeah.
BIM was supposed to solve all these problems, right? And you read these conferences from the 80s, right? It was going to be this, like, magic bullet, a centralized information, you know, database, right, where you would, like, run you'd save all of the simulations, the architecture, the construction, the engineering, the acoustics, the lighting, everything would be in this kind of central model, right? But BIM up to now has been a design tool.
Yeah,
it has not been a construction tool. And you know, yes, you can do clash detection, great, but that's still a design, you know, issue.
That's so well said.
And it's changing. I mean, you know, we were one of the last, you know, industries to get digitized, but also the incredibly good news is it's happening. And it's not just Alice, right? And you know, like anywhere else, sure, you know, the real innovators or the companies are doing incredible work. There's fewer of them, but they are there. And what's happening, this is the most exciting time to be in construction in my mind in the last probably 2,000 years. Because what's happening in construction is there's a new ecosystem that is coming at us. And I'm convinced of this. The fundamental value proposition of the general contractor is going to change over the course of the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, and Renee, and it's people like you that have went and put in the time to actually make a tool that works. So we're so honored to have you be a leader of the tribe to talk to this. So can you dive a little deeper into the solutions of Alice? And does this relate to concepts like generative design?
That's what Alice is. Alice is generative construction. So for anybody on the call that doesn't know what generative design is, you'll be an expert in about 30 seconds, right? And so...
All right, listen up here, tribe.
Let's say that you're designing a cylinder, like a cup of some sort, right? So, you know, you draw like a circle and a plane between them, right? Does that make sense? Perfect. So someone comes along and says, hey, I want a bigger cup. You're like, okay, well, wrap. You got to redraw everything. Someone comes along and says, I want a smaller cup. You're like, okay, let me redraw everything. So you got to redraw the cup every time there's a change. So somebody came along and said, no, I'm going to have these things called parameters. I'm going to have a height and a radius, right? And if I want a different size cup, I'll change the parameter and the tool redraws the object, right? That's a parametric design tool, right? So generative is I'm too lazy to change the parameters manually. I want the computer to do that for me. So with generative tools, you'll tend to give it ranges, right? I want you to try all the heights from, you know, whatever, 1 inch or through 2 inches to 3 inches, and I want you to do it by 0.1 inch, right? And the tool goes through all of those, you know, options and usually calculates something. So in architecture, usually what you're calculating is rentable area, you know? And so, you know, the tool goes through like tens of thousands of iterations of the design. The building gets bigger and smaller and rotates and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, it spits out like, here's the most rentable area that you can have. So that's generative design. It's been done in design since, like I said, the 80s. It started in mechanical engineering. The technology, by the way, has been available, I think, also since like the late 80s. ARCHICAD, right? The problem was the processors. Buildings are bigger and more complicated than engines. The processors were not strong enough to crunch this. And that started to happen in the early 2000s, right?
Awesome.
So, yeah. And so then generative construction is basically that. It allows you to generate long sorts of options. You know, the computer generates them for you and calculates, in our case, cost and time, right?
I love it. Can you talk a couple of case studies? So like what kind of companies had the most success using Alice and what those are?
Yeah. So we did a lot of work, for example, with Parsons, you know, Parsons Construction. We did a highway with them in Canada, you know, worth somewhere around $500 million. And humans with P6, you know, versus humans with Alice, two separate teams working. And the humans with Alice found a solution that was 69 days faster. And 34, I think, or 35, I forget, of those days were accepted, you know, by the project team. And so that's one option. We did another project with one of the largest construction companies in France, a tunneling project, figured out how to save the need for a TBM on that project, right? Tunnel boring machine. Really interesting project. The big deal with tunnels is removing the soil. I actually did not know that. But so Alice modeled all the regular stuff, right, which was crews and cranes and sequence and all that kind of stuff, and then also modeled, you know, removing the soil, right? We just did a commercial job with the Build Group, right? And that was the 7 p.m. ABC News, I think. But we figured out how to reduce the number of amount of formwork required from 10 to 6, right? Yeah, lots of projects around the world. You know, we've got clients. We started running projects now with McKinsey and Accenture. Really, really great work we've done with them. We've run other clients are, you know, let's see, Bouygues, Austin Bridge and Road. We have kicked off large wind farms in Australia, for example, and I'm talking, you know, north of $1 billion. So yeah, hopefully that gives a better idea of where we're at.
Awesome. Well, I'm curious, why the name Alice?
It's pretty easy. It was about 3:42 in the morning. I want to go to bed. I'm like, you know, I need a name, you know, because the tri-constraint method, which was the PhD, you know, title was probably not gonna ring. And so I was like, I can't need a name, like, you know, probably something with an A, like, you know, artificial construction, artificial construction engineering, ace, Alice. Okay, cool. That was like a 3-minute process, you know, it was like artificial intelligence construction engineering. Great. I was literally thinking, like, it's a good placeholder. I just want to go to bed. And we'll come up with a better name later, you know? It's like 6 years on. It's like, okay, we haven't come up with a better name, so I guess we're stuck with it.
I just adore these conversations because it's like how it really happens and how much good shit can get done when you thoughtfully get shit done, right? Like, does that really matter, right? But I still think the story's cool when you talk about, you know, artificial intelligence, like that's just how the mind and how the algorithms worked in your head to put it together. That's awesome. So we talked about it earlier about, you know, this whole misconception of artificial intelligence is going to take over my job, but I get it just drives me crazy because on the other side, you talk about how there's nobody, construction's not sexy and we can't get people to work in this field. And like, I'm so passionate. We're actually putting a whole podcast where I'm bringing in and we're going to really start dedicating and speaking to the warriors in the field and really elevate the trades. You talked about those big companies you work with, but who's the hero that went out and made it work, right? And so what's your take about the whole stigma of this is going to replace project managers? Or are you like me where it's just project managers is going to help us all do our jobs better? Because we still need a lot more people to do these new things. It's just changing how the art of construction is done. What's your take on that, Renee?
Absolutely. I was told something really cool by one of the innovation guys at Exxon. Right, a gentleman called Vineet Verma. And what he told me is that what technology does is it changes the art of tomorrow into the science of today. And so what he was saying was, and I really was like, that's exactly it. That's a really good explanation. Here's an example, right? What, you know, today's technology, let's assume you're thinking P6, right? Primavera or Excel or whatever you're using, right? And so what that does is it does some crunching for you. It crunches some of these variables for you. And then you got to add a layer of human intuition or intelligence on top of it. And today, in my opinion, that layer is really substantial, the heavy lift, right? What technology does is it changes what that layer of intuition into science, into number crunching. And so what Alice does is it really moves, it does a lot of that number crunching for you and now enables you to push way past that with your intuition again, right? The concept of like AI taking someone's job, I'll tell you when it will. When a computer has consciousness and it will wake up in the morning and think to itself, I need to build a hospital, and it will go down to the bank and basically secure a $250 million loan and figure out that it needs to build an 80-bed hospital, yes, then we need to worry. I have not seen any generalized AI that is successful as of yet. And I still believe that we are some time away from it, right? Whether we will crack it or not, right? And so in terms of, you know, people inside being skeptical, like, yeah, like I said, there's a lot of stuff out there that has not been great, right? And it is changing. There are a number of companies, you know, that are doing really, really cool stuff, right? But in terms of artificial intelligence taken someone's job, like we have not seen it. We have not seen, like, every single time is the exact same pattern. The AI becomes a thing doing the crunching. The human does what sets up what needs to be crunched and then interprets the results, right? And that's the same pattern over and over again. I have never seen, you know, AI remove someone's, you know, take someone's job. It will, and I'll tell you when. If what you want to base your career on is crunching numbers, then I hope your salary, you'll be happy with a salary of 1.3 cents an hour, right? If you want to base your salary on something that tells the machines what to crunch, then you will have a very safe job for a very long time. The name of the game is how many machines can you control? That's what it's about. The construction company of the future will be successful based on three things. How quickly can it identify cutting edge technology and startups? How quickly can it evaluate those technologies? And how quickly and effectively can it integrate those technologies into its current workflow? That's what the game's about. And the reason startups exist is in some ways we're merely the R&D arms of these giant, you know, companies. The only thing that's changed is that they have a little less control because they don't own it, but the hell of a lot less risk, right? The VCs have taken the risk, right? But it's the name of the game is how many machines can you control? That's basically it.
There you have it. I mean, there is the way it's going to work. And when you understand the science, which we believe in the science behind that, then the data becomes real information, and the building information modeling and the parametric objects and all these things come to life with the computational power. So what sort of ongoing working relationships do you have with your clients, and what does your customer support look like for your customers ongoing, as everybody I'm sure is intrigued and going to come check out Alice?
Yeah. Thanks for asking. It's we've kind of figured this part of the puzzle out at this point. Customers come to us. They, ask us about the tool, give some demos, answer questions, hopefully very difficult technical questions. At some point, you know, 98, 99% of the cases, people are like, whoa, this looks serious. Like, I want to try this out. We usually sign a contract, put that in place, 12 months, and we train you. We basically give you a crash course in artificial intelligence for construction, generative construction, parametric construction, all these concepts. How does it work, right? There's a theoretical body of knowledge that we share with you, right? That's the first step. We share the theory, we share the tool, we run you through examples, and then our team basically gives you a white glove treatment in helping you set up your first project. People tend to learn the tool very quickly. You know, it takes, truthfully, I've seen as many times, you know, day and a half, 2 days to learn the tool in a really advanced way, right? And people learn the tool and then they're off to the races. And that what's really like in the last, you know, even 3 months, we've had people come to us and say, I never thought I'd say this, but I actually like scheduling, right? And it's fun. It really is, like, because you're spending time on the fun stuff. You know, you let the computer do the crunching for you.
I love that. Because if you're in the people business, which I love people, but it drives me crazy when schedules don't work, right? So if you can get back to the art of scheduling, but have tools to help you with, that it becomes fun again. That's just fascinating.
Yeah.
So Renee, how can people learn more and try out Alice now that we got them all intrigued? And thank you for all your information on how AI and how Alice came to be.
On our website, alicetechnologies.com, there's a contact sort of form. Fill it out and let us know what you're working on, and we're happy to help. We're also going to be launching a course on Coursera, even though that's probably, you know, maybe 6-8 weeks away. But folks will be able to kind of take the class, so to speak, and see what the technology can do.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure we put links to everything in the show notes, where we make these global and timeless, but there's the only constant is change, right? And we'll continue to put all that information out there. And we're honored to have you come in and share your story and be part of the Art of Construction tribe. And close out, we always ask this question that I'm fascinated when we get leaders of the tribe to come in and kind of give us their take. But Renee, what is your crystal ball for connecting technology to handshakes in the future of the art of construction?
Results, right? Create something that friggin' works and works incredibly well. And if you do that, then the handshakes will happen and the future of construction will happen, right?
Awesome. Well, what is that one thing you want to leave our warriors out there in the art of construction to think about, to go out and crush it, to grow their business? What is that one thing you want to leave us with, Renee?
The name of the game is how many machines do you control?
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing us your story.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Wow. I'm going to be listening back to that one a few times to really take AI in my business and hopefully your business to the next level, Tribe. I love so many lessons learned on that. And a few of them I just want to highlight is that, Tribe, we are lifelong learners and doers. And we will always find a solution to get shit done. And that's what we do on the Art of Construction. But there's times when you have to pause and say, how do we find the optimal solution? And that's what Renee has shared with us, right? And so the comments that he said, the quote and of the reference from the Exxon, I believe he said, was art of tomorrow into the science of today. And that just hit me right in the heart because that's how I started this thing. Like I was so sick of the way it was done. And I only knew what I knew, right? But I wanted to get out there and learn more as a lifelong learner in the art of construction. And we started this global megaphone to say, build a movement, and then you get to have leaders like Renee come in and talk about his story of how we do that. And, you know, a computer is not going to take over the world. It's you, Art of Construction, changing the algorithms and how we work with machine learning. And AOC can take over the world. And that's not just this brand, but it's truly the art of construction, right? And we have the right to be suspicious. I love how he kind of called us out in the industry and how things work, right? Because when he talked about, you know, in the 80s of BIM is going to change the world. And here we are recording this at 9:53 on March 24th of 2021 Mountain Standard Time for this timestamp. I think people are still, most people don't even know what BIM stands for, that live in construction, right? And so as we talk about breaking down these silos, we have the right to be suspicious. But I can tell you, when we have leaders like we just had Steve Burrows back in, and he says, I truly believe this is the greatest time to be in construction. And Renee, who's lived passionately in construction the same way, right? This is the greatest time. But you better not bury your head in the sand again, because it's easy to get jaded. Because it's the greatest time to be in the art of construction if you look at it and you understand the new rules of the game. And go back and listen to this, because Renee shared with us the rules of the game, and it boils down to how many machines you can control with the right core values and the people pulling the valves. Thank you so much, Renee and Alice. We're big fans of what you're doing, and we can't wait to have more collaboration and conversation through AI on the art of construction. Crush it out there, Tribe.